This is Jefferson Public Radio. I'm Eric Thiel. Welcome to another live session. Joining me today in the JPR studios, singer-songwriter Peter Bradley Adams. Peter, welcome to JPR. Thanks for stopping by.
Thanks for having me. Thank you so much.
Peter's newest record is called The Mighty Storm. It is available in all of the outlets, Bandcamp, Amazon, iTunes, your local record shop. The website is peterbradleyadams.com. Peter, when you were first starting out in music, I understand that you were actually doing some scoring of films and TV shows, right?
Yes, yeah, so even before that, I was studying composition, got a master's down at University of Alabama.
With an eye or, I suppose, an ear to do what exactly? What did you want to do?
I don't think I knew. I was fishing around. I always wanted to, I was writing songs, but doing it sort of secretly and singing secretly. But I somehow, after ending up in L.A. and doing some film score work, I ended up just taking the leap and trying to write and sing my songs.
Well, and early on, that went fairly well. We'll talk about that project in just a bit. But during that time when you were doing scoring, anything notable from that period?
Oh, it was a lot of really bad TV shows. There was a bunch of, you know, Discovery Channel, Learning Channel documentary series. One of them was called C-Tech. But I was always ghostwriting, so you'll never see my name on it.
And was the idea that you were writing and orchestrating for an actual orchestra, or were you doing this all on keyboard, computer?
Oh, yeah, this is all fake, because low-budget stuff, yeah.
Right. Well, you mentioned Taking the Leap, and that first project that at least most people are aware of was, of course, East Mountain South, early 2000s. This was a project that was on DreamWorks Records shortly before sort of the bottom fell out of DreamWorks Records. It was one of the well-publicized mergers and collapses in the record industry. Looking back at that time, that record, as you have then followed it up with solo records, it became apparent that the overall sound, the song craft, the approach, the overall sound of the songs was Peter Bradley Adams. Even though that record was East Mountain South and Cat was singing beautifully on it, when your solo records came out, it was the continuation of that sound that so many people became a huge fan of, was East Mountain South. Mm-hmm. When you entered the studio to start putting that record together, were these songs that you had already been developing just as a solo singer-songwriter, or was this really a project that came about with you and Cat Maslich together?
It was both. We both had a batch of songs that we had written before we ever met. And I had actually also written songs for a woman to sing. And when she showed up and started singing them, it was as if I had written these songs for her to sing. They just fit her voice perfectly. And so some of them were pre-written songs. There were a few that I helped her finish some of her songs, and then there's a couple that we just started from scratch together. But it was strange that we both had this body of work that somehow worked beautifully for us together. And then as far as the sound goes, yeah, I think I'd been kind of starting to work on that sound of the production in the demos that we were doing, and some of those demos carried into the record. We went in and worked with Mitchell Froom, who was extraordinary. The stuff in the demos that was working, we kept, and the stuff that wasn't working, we redid.
Well, and the sound you mentioned, there's a timeless quality to it, where you even now, it's been, 12 years, you can't tell when that album was made.
Oh, man,
I mean,
you don't
know if it's 3 months old or 10 years old or 20 years old. Was that an intent when you went in, or did it just happen as a result of there being some magic in the studio?
I don't know what the intent was. I think obviously we wanted it to not sound dated, but one day. But we were trying to merge some different sounds. I think if I was to do that record today, I wouldn't have produced it so much. I don't think that also just sort of, obviously we were on a major label, so they were looking to sell records. So they were obviously looking to kind of take this Americana sound and amplify it into maybe a bigger sound and add pop elements, which I was really excited about, and I was kind of doing that anyway. Now when I look back on it, I'd probably want it to be more raw. I mean, it's really cool to me that you hear so much more raw sounding music hitting really big, where it wouldn't have happened. Labels wouldn't have done that back then. I do still love some of the production that we did on that. I don't love it all. It's hard to listen to some of it, but I'm glad that you say it's timeless.
Peter Bradley Adams is my guest live today in the JPR studios. His newest release is called The Mighty Storm. PeterBradleyAdams.com is the web address. Well, let's hear a tune. First, though, who have you brought in with you today?
This is Todd Lombardo.
Hello, welcome.
We both live in Nashville, Tennessee, And we do a lot of touring together. I'm going to play a song, Todd.
Let's do it.
All right. Storm, the white lightning's gonna strike you down. You can't fight the will of the Lord. Everybody stand ready on higher ground. Well, the river shall rise before you know it. Gonna tear those levees down. She'll come knocking at your front door. So move your feet to the top of the mountain. Here comes the mighty storm. The white lightning's gonna strike you down. You can't fight the will of the Lord. Everybody stand ready on higher ground. It'll burn your eyes. The hard rain's gonna knock you down. So don't wait till the waters rise. Move your feet to the top of the mountain. Here comes the mighty storm. The white lightning's gonna strike you down. You can't fight the will of the Lord. Everybody stand ready on higher. You hear the thunder roll. Don't wait for the rain to fall. Don't pack your bag. Don't lock the door. Save yourself on the top of the mountain. Here comes the mighty storm. The white lightning's gonna strike you down. You can't fight the will of the Lord. Everybody stand ready on higher ground. Here comes the mighty storm. White lightning's gonna strike you down. You can't fight the will of the Lord. Everybody stand ready on higher ground. My lightning's gonna strike you down. You can't fight the will of the Lord. Everybody stand ready on higher ground.
That is Peter Bradley Adams live here on Jefferson Public Radio. It's the title track from his brand new record called The Mighty Storm. Information at peterbradleyadams.com. Todd Lombardo on guitars and harmony vocals with him today in the studio. You know, Peter, just before the tune, I mean, I don't want to belabor the point too much about East Mountain South, because for you, it was such a long time ago, though we, you know, we're still playing the record often here at JPR. You know, that record had a nice life, because not only are radio stations still spinning tunes from it, but tons of TV film placement from songs from that record. Was that ever something that you thought would happen? And does it keep happening to songs going back that many years for you?
Well, when that record came out, that was kind of the beginning of the song placement explosion. So it was a lot more exciting to get a song placement back then. And usually, when they used a song, you could actually hear it.
Yeah.
Because they wouldn't nowadays. They just have, just wall-to-wall songs that are just buried under the dialogue as if they're coming out of the radio, which sometimes that's what that they want you to sound like. But it has continued. It's more my stuff now that the East Mountain South doesn't get licensed much anymore. I can't remember the last one, but usually it's my stuff.
And you're now, is it 6 records now into your solo career?
I think it's 5.
Gather Up, Leave Taking Traces, Mighty Storm. Is there another one? Did I forget one?
Between Us.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
Is that 5?
Yeah, that's 5. And an EP that sort of launched it all, right?
I guess so, but that's some of that stuff I wish would just go away, but
it won't ever.
I'm slowly trying to, I'm figuring it out one record at a time, figuring out what I'm doing.
Before the tune, I was also trying to navigate my way through a comment about how the sound of your songs is somewhat timeless. You know, certainly that East Mountain South record had a timelessness to it, but your songs sound that way too, because on the East Mountain South record, there was a Stephen Foster tune that if you didn't know it, you would have potentially thought that was a Peter Bradley Adams song, because
that's nice.
Your songwriting and the sound of your songs kind of come from a similar vein. It makes me question what kinds of music you had grown up listening to have a sound that is so much in tune with the kind of sound that comes from Stephen Foster.
Wow. Well, I don't, it's weird because growing up, I listened to a lot of pop music. I mean, the Beatles was my first obsession as a 5-year-old kid, just couldn't stop spinning those records on my aqua green play school turntable. And I would drum on the trash cans to those records. But I always had a love for folk music. I started listening to I was just sort of into folk music as a kid. When my friends were listening to Kiss, I was listening to folk stuff. So I guess that it got in there somehow, and I don't know, maybe there's some pop filter that I'm putting this stuff through, but ultimately it's coming from an older place, the inspiration, the songwriting inspiration.
You mentioned originally from Alabama.
Yeah.
Spent time, L.A. and New York? Mm-hmm. Where's home now?
Nashville.
How long have you been there?
Two and a half years.
And what is Nashville like for you home base?
Yeah, it's great. I've been there once before. I'd lived there for about a year and a half, and then I went to New York, and now I'm back. Settled down a little bit, but it's an exciting place. It's where I met Todd, and a lot of the people I work with, pretty much everyone I work with is there. Even when I was living in New York, I would come back and record there.
So you've been in really 3 places that are hugely known for music, LA, New York, Nashville.
Yeah.
Compare those different scenes, what it's like for a working performing musician in LA, New York, Nashville.
Well, Nashville is the easiest to live. Cost of living is the lowest, and it's just the easiest to get around, and it's the coziest place.
Yeah.
Todd's one of the best.
Oh. One other thing I want to ask you about in terms of your songwriting is that a lot of the songs feel very biographical. Are these songs about Peter, or are you a narrator?
Both. And I would say that I'm definitely not the spill your journal onto the song page. I don't do that. I don't think my life is interesting enough to be all about me. And I think that the songs are best when they maybe obviously they draw on some little tidbits of personal experience. But I think that that ultimately you're a storyteller, and I mean, my favorite, you know, Bob Dylan was very, very rarely writing stuff about himself. He was just channeling these incredible stories. So I love that approach. Townes Van Zandt too. I mean, there's definitely no one's writing in a vacuum void of their own experience. But I try to not be just the confessional guy.
You don't want to put the spotlight on anybody that might recognize that you're talking about them?
Yeah, no, I don't want to do that.
Peter Bradley Adams is my guest today for a live session here on JPR. We will have audio and some photos up on our website later this afternoon at www.ijpr.org. You can also subscribe to our JPR Live Sessions podcast on iTunes. PeterBradleyAdams.com is the website. His latest release is called The Mighty Storm. He's live in the studio with Todd Lombardo. You want to do another one?
Yes, please. Thank you. The batik makes a hollow sound. Should I walk away? Should I push on through? What in the world can a good man do? Laughing eyes with a touch of gray. The record stopped when she looked my way. I can hear her heart from across the room. What in the world can a good man do? Yellow hair and almond skin. She opened her arms and I fell right in. And she gave me love like I never. What in the world can a good man do? Well, her hands are warm, her hands are strong. She holds me here like I belong. But I know I can't love her like she wants me to. What in the world can a good man do?
That is Peter Bradley Adams live on Jefferson Public Radio. The newest record is called The Mighty Storm. Information on Peter and his music at peterbradleyadams.com. Peter, you have said before that, of all things, reading books seems to help you with songwriting.
Did I say that?
You have.
Well,
is that,
no,
is
I
that
think
a true statement?
I would say that reading books has helped me in a lot of ways. It's helped me learn how to talk and think. I've probably learned more just from reading than I did in any of my college years. And I think, yeah, it just helps language kind of flow out of you the more you're letting it come in.
Does it have anything to do with crafting story over a period of time? Maybe,
could
you know,
be,
being
yeah.
able to draw a story out. I mean, yeah. as you assemble songs for a record, sometimes there's a theme that runs the course of the
yeah.
album, other times not so much, but in reading a novel of some sort that, you know, unfolds over many hours of interacting with it, does that help, you know, maybe stretch the song a little bit outside of that 3-minute pop
Well,
tune?
It's interesting because I think about it a lot. If you are telling a story or just anything you're describing in a 3, 4, 5 minute song, it's just everything happens so fast. And the information that you lay out, you have to, just the pacing of it is so difficult to do because you can say too much too quickly or you can say too little too quickly and then people don't know what the hell you're talking about. But it's obviously a completely so much more condensed experience than a long form narrative because it's not at all long form. You're just getting like little images that people kind of piece together into a narrative.
You know, you've got, as we talked, 5 solo albums out now. On the new record, for a solo artist to assemble a band that is comprised of, what, 4 different record producers?
Oh, yeah.
Seems like you put a whole lot of chefs in the kitchen at the same time.
Yeah, yeah.
Was that an easy process to create the new record with all of those skill sets and ideas in the room at the same time?
Well, that particular part of it was easy. Those guys, I've worked all with them a lot, and they're all friends of mine, and they all really respect each other. And so it was a really fun team effort that we did.
And are they generally producers who are musicians or musicians who also produce records?
Both, okay. Kind of equal back and forth. I in general, all these records kind of get out of hand for me, and I just end up working too hard on them and too long and spending too much money. Hopefully the next one won't be so difficult. But that experience going in the studio with those four guys was actually really wonderful and really fun.
And one of the other things I noticed in looking through the records as opposed to listening to them, and I noticed this early on, I think when your first solo record came out after East Mountain South, looking through the credits of who's on the record, there were the likes of Aoife O'Donovan, Kat Maslich had been brought back to sing harmony. I think Sarah Bareilles was on a tune. And I'm thinking, who is this guy and how is he connected to all of these great singers?
Well, it's a small world. I mean, it's not, it sounds more impressive than it is. I mean, these people are just in my, they're my peers, and it's easy to have them come over and sing on a track. And the Sarah thing happened way long ago, also before she exploded.
And then the rocket took off.
Yeah.
You know, one other interesting thing I notice about your songs is so many of them are written for two-part harmony. Mm-hmm. You know, your voice, lead voice, but there's always this other voice going on. And, you know, right today it's Todd, but a lot of different female voices to play off of the timbre of yours. Do you write with specific singers in mind or a specific sound in mind at all?
No, I think it just, I don't know how that happened. It just sort of,
it's
I think
thing.
A lot of it was just because I'm really scared to sing alone, so I always have people sing with me. Actually, part of it was just out of fear. but I love harmony, and I love singing harmony, and I like to think that the melody, the main melody, could stand alone without the harmony. But I always like to hear it if it's possible. Todd here has to reach way into his upper registers sometimes to reach these girl parts, but he's like, no one's been able to, no dude has been able to pull it off as well as he has touring, so I'm grateful.
Well, and things have kind of come in a way full circle in that when you started out, you were crafting sound to accompany visuals, and now so many of your songs have been chosen to accompany visuals. Do you get much time to watch the shows that have placed your songs and, you know, pass judgment on whether they've chosen an apropos tune to go with that moment?
Well, I don't have a TV, so I don't really see any of them. And frankly, most of them, I'm so grateful that they get placed, but a lot of them are on pretty terrible TV shows. So I don't really want to watch them.
You're not even curious to see? Like what kind of poignant moment they have paired up with a Peter Bradley Adams tune?
Well, whenever I have gone online and tried to find and stream, it's always disappointing. It's always you can't hear it, or it's just. I'm not going to complain because it's been a huge help for me, just in being able to make a living and get this music more heard.
Yeah. Well, tell me what's on the horizon for you. I mean, is this going to be, you know, an album about every like 18 months? It seems like it has been from you.
Yeah. I'm really going to dig a little deeper and longer on this next one. That's what I'm doing right now.
The symphonic Peter Bradley Adams?
Maybe so. I'm actually writing instrumental music right now for a choreographer that is doing a piece with the Grand Rapids Ballet. It's going to be a piano, violin piece mostly.
Peter Bradley Adams is my guest live today on Jefferson Public Radio. His new record is called The Mighty Storm. Information at peterbradleyadams.com. He's here with Todd Lombardo on guitar and harmony vocals. So we have time for one more. What do you want to do for us?
We're going to do The Longer I Run, which is off the Leave-Taking record. Thank you. My blood runs warm with no red wine. I miss the life that I left behind. But when I hear the sound of the blackbird's cry, I know I lived in the nick of time. Well, this road I'm on is gonna turn to sand, leave me lost in a far off land. So let me ride in the wind. Don't look back and forget the land that I almost hit. And if I wanted to, I'd die. May I know who's in, I'm in. And if my home I never find, sober nickel and dime, making my heart to keep singing these rhymes. And there's a game. Longer on than the lesson I find, sitting my sober nickel and dime, making my heart to keep singing these rhymes. And there's a my savior comes, cause you let him know I've gone away for to save my soul. And if I wanted to, I'd die. May I know who's in, I'm in. And if my home I never find, making my heart to keep singing these rhymes, losing the game. The longer I learn, the less that I find, selling my soul for nickel and dime. Making my heart to keep singing these rhymes, losing the game, losing.
Ah, beautiful. That is Peter Bradley Adams live here on Jefferson Public Radio. Peter and Todd, thanks again for dropping by and visiting with us.
Thank you so much for having us.